Hello friends, I am Soumendra Naik and I welcome you again to this next session on rural dynamics. Today's chapter of discussion is the financial system in the rural sector. Rural finance refers to financial services used in rural areas by people of all income levels living there. A key objective of rural finance is to provide the people with the funds and financial services they need to multiply their earnings and build a more prosperous future. If the loans or credit is taken by the rural household for the purpose of agriculture or home grown small businesses, then the credit is also known as rural credit. Financial intermediation is an important process through which funds are channeled from suppliers to prospective users or consumers. In most countries, a diversity of institutions, instruments and markets have evolved around this, and they provide the financial intermediation services at this stage. These include formal institutions such as banks, semi-formal institutions such as cooperatives, and informal providers such as traders, money lenders, and even very many peer-to-peer kind of services. Providing the financial services in rural area is particularly a big challenge as far as agriculture is concerned, and has unique characteristics on dependence on natural resources, long production cycles, and are very much vulnerable to risk, while scattered populations greatly increase operating cost. And reaching out to these masses at a very scattered and diverse and remote areas further increases the cost to maximum. Coming to the different kinds of channel that is available for offering this credit to the rural masses, we have basically bifurcated them into two different things. One is the institutional credit, where we come across the nationalized banks, we have NABARD, and we have state cooperative banks, we have the district cooperative banks, we have the land development banks, and we have the regional rural development banks, along with the cooperative credit societies. When we talk about the private credit sector, we have the peer-to-peer lending. This is mainly a kind of intermediary service who actually aggregate both the buyer and the seller on an online platform. And then we have the money lenders who had been always in the society since beginning, and they have been financing the poor people or the farmers in a village, but at a very exorbitant, highly priced interest rate. Then we have the households or even the relatives of a person who finance them at the time of emergency. We also have friends who finance them during emergencies, and we have local traders who also offer some sort of credit for the needed at the moment, and they also charge interest upon them. Coming to the role of financial system, where actually the nationalized banks plays a very major role. The nationalized bank in the rural financing, they have a main thrust and of branch expansion and the policy in post-nationalization era, where actually they have been increasing the branch facilities in the rural areas to the maximum. There has been a significant increase in the rural branches of banks across India and in all the states in all geographies. The percentage of bank branches in rural areas to the total branches has risen from 22.2% to 37.2%. On the additional branches which are opened, 50% were only in rural areas. Coming to the role of nationalized bank in rural financing, almost all unbanked villages with a population of more than 2000 have been covered by the banking outlet. That's the kind of reach that we can see from these figures. The villages with a population of more than 2000 are being provided with a banking outlet through branch business correspondence and other modes. Greater attention is now being made to give the unbanked villages and connect with them with the population which is less than 2000 even. The role of nationalized banks in rural financing is becoming more and more important. The proportion of agriculture credit to the total bank credit has grown from 5.4% to 17.1%. The banks provide direct as well as indirect financial assistance to the agriculturists. Kisan Credit Card Scheme facilitates the flow of timely and adequate short-term credit to the farmers. Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana, which was under a great hype, is a massive financial drive of financial inclusion, with a record of 1.5 crore bank accounts which were opened on the very first inaugural day. We talk about the role of NABARD in rural financing. The bank has been entrusted with matters concerning policy, planning and operations in the field of credit for agriculture and other economic activities in rural areas in India. This bank, NABARD, is considered the most pioneer in the sector of rural agricultural lending. NABARD is active in developing financial inclusion policy. They are into various projects which not only finance but also into the development of rural folks. NABARD is also known as the SHG Bank Linkage Program, which encourages India's banks to lend to self-help groups. NABARD supervises the state cooperative banks, the district cooperative banks, even the regional rural banks, and conduct a statutory inspection or audit of those banks. NABARD also has a portfolio of natural resources management programs involving the diverse field like watershed development, tribal development, farm innovation through dedicated funds set up for the purpose. NABARD is the most important institution in the country which looks after the development of the cottage industry as well, the small scale industries, the village industry and any other rural industry for that sake. NABARD refinances funds from World Bank and Asian Development Bank to State Cooperative Agriculture and Rural Development Bank, state cooperative banks, as well as the regional rural banks and commercial banks, and even to the financial institutions approved under RBI. So now we are coming to another segment of the bank, which is the state cooperative bank, and what is their role in the rural financing. The state cooperative bank is an apex bank of the cooperative banks in each state. The state cooperative banks are registered under the State Cooperative Societies Act and licensed by RBI. In the three-stage cooperative structure, apex bank state label, the state cooperative bank, the district label, we have the district cooperative bank, and at the base label, we have the primary cooperative banks and cooperative societies. The role of district cooperative bank in rural financing, if we talk about it, the district cooperative central bank, popularly known as DCCB, is a cooperative bank operating at the district level in various parts of India. It was established to provide banking to the rural hinterland for the agricultural sector, with branches primarily established in rural and semi-urban areas. When we talk about the agriculture and rural development banks, this is another set of banks. They operate under a two-tier system known as a state cooperative agriculture and rural development banks. And the second one is the primary cooperative agriculture and rural development banks. Agriculture and rural development banks make long-term lending for schemes associated with increasing in the agricultural output, such as digging of borewell. These institutions get refinance facilities from NABARD, usually around 3% lower than lending rates. These banks mainly provide long-term loans to farmers against the mortgage of their lands at the low rate of interest over a period of 10 to 15 years, which is quite long and very convenient for the farmers. So next we are going to talk about a very important segment, that is the regional rural banks, popularly known as RRBs. RRBs are Indian scheduled commercial banks sponsored by the PSU banks, the government sector banks, and they are operating at regional level in different states of India. They have been created with a view of serving primarily the rural areas of India with basic banking and financial services. When we talk about the cooperative credit societies, this is another significant player, particularly in the rural sector, and they have quite a presence in the rural sector. These cooperative credit societies are playing significant role in the development of villages in India and share a major credit in the growth of rural sector, which along with government and private sector contribute to the overall economy of India. Cooperative credit societies cover more than 97% of Indian villages, some run by its members and some by the government. Dairy cooperative in Gujarat, for example, and sugar cooperatives in Maharashtra prove their major contribution. The cooperative credit societies are set up with a main aim to help out the poor and indebted farmers out of poverty and help them come out of the clutches or the vicious cycle of the money lenders. Within a very short span of time, role of cooperatives have extended beyond agricultural credit, and now they are even started their lending to activities which are other than agriculture. It started covering activities such as production, farming, marketing and processing also. Cooperative credit societies are now playing a very significant role in the socio-economic development of our country, especially the rural India. Cooperative credit societies in India are majorly of four types: the primary agricultural credit or service societies, agricultural non-credit societies, agricultural cooperative marketing societies, and cooperative farming societies. Cooperative credit societies, they provide credit to the farmers, the most important and the needed thing in the farming area. Apart from this, the cooperatives help farmers by providing top quality fertilizers, seeds, insecticides, pesticides, etc. at reasonable price. This actually helps them to differentiate between the authentic and the spurious inputs available in the market. The farmers who depend upon these cooperative societies very much rely upon them for the authenticity of these products. Farmers also get marketing, warehousing facility and transportation support from these cooperatives to a great extent. The cooperative societies are also helping the farmers in renting out the heavy machinery and other equipments like tractors, power tillers, threshers, etc. because they mainly support the poor and marginal farmers who doesn't have an affordability to purchase these products from the market. So they mainly depend upon the society from where they can rent it out. Now the rural cooperative societies are even entering into areas beyond agriculture like real estate, power, insurance, healthcare, communication sectors. If these keep on working with an objective of development, then days are not far when quality of rural life would be far better than urban India. Now we are going to talk about a very interesting segment which has come up in the very recent times and is another aspect of money lending. This is the peer-to-peer lending, popularly known as the P2P lending. P2P is a practice of lending money to individuals or businesses through online services that match lenders with borrowers, even if the lenders or borrowers do not know each other. Peer-to-peer lending companies often offer their services and they operate online and attempt to operate with low overheads and provide their services more cheaply than traditional financial institutions established in the country. They act as a platform where the borrowers and the lenders come together even without the prior acquaintance. As a result, the lenders can earn higher returns compared to savings and investment products offered by the banks, while borrowers can borrow money at a lower rate of interest even after the P2P lending company has taken a fee as a commission fee for providing the matchmaking platform and credit checking by the borrower. There is always a great risk associated with this kind of peer-to-peer lending because there is a risk where the borrower defaults the loan and doesn't pay back to the company or to the lender. It is also known as crowd lending. Many peer-to-peer loans are unsecured personal loans. Secured loans are sometimes offered by using luxury assets such as jewelry, watches, vintage cars, fine arts, buildings, aircraft, and other business assets as collateral. Now we are going to talk about the next segment, which is into the insurance sector. Rural insurance has become very important in the last few decades. The Indian law states that insurance companies should be accommodative of persons in the rural sector or social sector, persons in the economically vulnerable or backward classes of the society, or workers in the unorganized or informal sector, etc., should be their customers. According to the IRDA, which has tried to accommodate the two sections of the Insurance Act by making it compulsory for insurers who offer general insurance to support business in the rural sector as well. The plan must include insurance for crops. The main objective of the program in case of rural insurance is to make sure that the rural families involved are provided with working capital and assistance in the form of income generating assets, etc. Institutional credit, subsidy, etc. will be offered for the same purpose. The following can be insured under rural policies, like sub animals, including honeybees, silkworms, etc. These are the industry which are into apiary or sericulture kind of industry. The apiculture and sericulture has a significant role in coming up in the rural upliftment. Livestock, including the sheep, cattle, and goat rearing, etc. Property, example, agricultural pump sets, and plantations and horticultural crops, including grapes, rubber, teas, coffee, etc. Even it also insures the persons for their accidents and other activities. So now when we are talking about insurance, it is very important to talk about another aspect of this insurance, what is a crop insurance. So when we are talking about crop insurance, we have to first understand what is the need of it. At this moment, if we talk about an agrarian society like India, where farmers are always exposed to all the kinds of vagaries of the climate, like the rainfall has been very erratic over the years, sudden temperature changes, and lot of other global warming which has impacted, like bringing in the cyclones, tornadoes, and various other things which has affected and impacted the agriculture to the most, because their fields are open and exposed to all kind of calamities. So to secure their, because once they lose their crop, their not only entire season is gone, but they don't have the money to purchase for the next season. So this entire cycle stops somewhere in between. So to ensure or secure them against all these vagaries of climate, so government has come up with various schemes. Like one of them is the flagship scheme, which is the Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana, popularly known as PMBFY. The objectives of this Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana is like providing the financial support to the farmers suffering crop loss or damage arising out of unforeseen events. It may be due to rains, due to floods, due to cyclones, due to even hailstorms or anything. Stabilizing the income of the farmers to ensure their continuance in farming, so that they can even continue farming season after season, year after year, without losing their entire hard-earned or hard-saved money. Next is about encouraging farmers to adopt innovative and modern agricultural practices. The fourth objective of this Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana is about ensuring the flow of credit to the agriculture sector, which will contribute to food security, crop diversification, and enhancing growth and competitiveness of agriculture sector, besides protecting farmers from production risks. The Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana, it provides a comprehensive insurance coverage against failure of the crop, thus helping in stabilizing the income of the farmers. The scheme covers all food and oil seeds crops and annual commercial as well as horticultural crops for which past yield data is available. Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana is implemented by empaneled general insurance companies. Selection of implementing agencies, IA, normally the banks, is done by the concerned state government through bidding. Here the banks who actually offer to give the insurance to these farmers, they come forward and bid. The scheme is compulsory for loany farmers availing crop loan or Kisan credit card account holders for notified crops and voluntary for other crops. The scheme is being administered by Ministry of Agriculture. So now we are going to talk about the risk associated and the risk management strategies. Since we have already talked about the challenges, we have already spoken about the kind of insurance coverage, it is very much important to talk about the risk associated with this. Risk management is very important to financial service providers. When they issue loans, there is a risk of borrower default. When they collect deposits and on lend them to other clients, but they put people saving at risk because they are collecting money from the general public and against them, like they are lending it to other borrowers who need the money at the moment. And if they don't collect it back, or while collecting back, if the borrower defaults, then they are always at risk where they do not have money to pay back to those who have deposited in them. The establishment of collateral in relation to a loan transaction means that the lender is assured of recovering, if necessary by court action, the material value of the loan. This means that the outreach of financial services is often influenced by the collateral that borrowers can offer, particularly in rural areas where agricultural production risks are perceived as very high. Conventional collateral includes the mortgage of land or pledging of movable assets. It also includes third-party guarantees or even the endorsements. Poor people have few assets to pledge and land titles are often uncertain. This has led to the use of collateral substitutes such as group guarantees and solidarity funds. So friends, in this chapter we spoke about the different avenues that are available for any farmer or agriculturist to borrow money for day-to-day activities for his crops. For the season, he can even borrow money from private institutions such as his friends, his peers, his relatives or any other, or even the money lenders. He also has an option to borrow it from an organized sector, that is the institutional credit sector. Under the institutional credit, we spoke about particularly the role of NABARD, how important it is and what are the machinery of NABARD, how it functions and what are its objectives. We spoke about the different nationalized bank. We spoke about the reach, expansion and the amount of coverage, the RRBs, cooperative societies, as well as the regional rural banks they provide to the farmer. At the same time, we also talked about the insurance, where actually the farmer has to be insured against his crop. Like here, in case of any crop damage, his entire not only crop goes out, but also he loses another season or another year where he doesn't have money to invest in future. For this, our government of India has implemented various schemes and they have floated something like the Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana, where actually they insure the farmers against the crop losses. Here, the banks come forward and bid for it so that they can act as an insurance agent. Then we also talked about the risk associated with this borrowings, because when it is for the borrowings, there is always a risk associated because the lenders has to be secured against the default which is happening from the borrower's end. And here, to secure him, we talked about the collateral, what can be held for giving the risk mitigation strategies to the lenders. So with this, I conclude this chapter. Thank you.